Hey everyone, welcome back to the Impact 32 podcast. As many of you know, Heart Free Run is a network of over 100 different ministries all working to spread the gospel in Iran, Afghanistan, and the region. Today, I'm honored to be sitting down with our president and CEO of Heart Free Run, Dr. Mike Ansari. We're talking about reaching the next generation in Iran through the use of groundbreaking technology and AI, and how we can utilize it in ministry and in training up strong Christian leaders in the Middle East. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Mike, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I'm excited that you're here with me. Mike, these are exciting times. Mm-hmm. There are so many new things on the horizon for Heart for Iran and for Mohabbat TV. But first, I want to take a look back a little bit at the foundations of how this ministry got started, because God has been so faithful from the beginning. And I feel like I've only been here for a little bit of time, but you have kind of given me some insight into the history of how this got started. Can you just share with our viewers, for those that don't know, a little bit of how Heart for Iran and Mohabbat TV got started, but also the reason why?
Yeah. Absolutely. So 2006, mm-hmm. March of 2006 was the first month that Mohabbat mm-hmm. TV, a 24/7 Farsi satellite TV that's Christian, yeah. went on air. Mm-hmm. We were amongst one of the first satellite TVs that was broadcasting Christian content wow. full-time into the country of Iran.
Wow.
We bring the gospel, the love of Christ to mm-hmm. the Farsi speakers of Iran, Afghanistan, and Tajikistan, roughly about 120 to 130 million wow. people strong in that region.
Wow.
Then we have a huge number of Iranians and Afghans mm-hmm. that are in diaspora, mm. And they have called another country's home for various reasons. In Mohabbat TV, we stand on three pillars. Mm. Number one is we never disrespect different denominations, other denominations. We
right.
work and we respect all of them.
Yeah.
The other thing is that we are not a political entity, mm. And the third thing is that we do not disrespect Islam.
Yeah.
We focus on bringing the message and the light of the gospel to the Iranian people. And when we launched our channel back in March of 2006, it was just a satellite TV bringing programming to the masses. And the amount of response we started getting back from inside Iran mm. was so overwhelming mm. that we had to put in a call center.
Wow.
So we could actually answer the phone calls that were coming
right,
in and answer the emails that were mm. coming in. And we were registering hundreds of contacts every yeah. day from inside Iran. And the message was pretty much the same. A lot of people were saying, we're watching your programming. We're not necessarily Christian, mm. but we either have had a dream or vision about Jesus or we had heard about Christianity.
Wow.
Can you please tell us more?
Wow.
And so that is how we got started. Mm. Our call center not only processes phone calls mm. and we engage with our audience, but yeah. we're also able to send them Bibles mm. and other resources. And we're seeing an amazing trend in the country of Iran. In mm. Iran, in 2016, World Mission mm. announced that the underground church in Iran is among the fastest growing churches in the world.
Wow.
Which makes it an opportunity, but it also creates a challenge, because yeah. if the church, underground church, is growing so fast, how do you mm-hmm. tend to it?
Yeah.
Especially in a country like Iran, which, according to Open Doors watch list, it is the ninth most dangerous place to be a follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. It is a closed country. It's a difficult place for people to leave Islam and become Christians.
Yeah.
Church, as you and I know in the West, is restricted, is illegal in Iran.
Yeah.
Bibles are illegal in Iran. Mm. And if a Muslim chooses to become a Christian, they could be subject to prosecution, right. even jail time. Mm. So looking at the situation where the country is closed, yet masses mm. are coming to Christ. And it creates an amazing opportunity for us yeah. to really stand in the gap
yeah.
and be able to just bring the gospel to them.
Right.
So again, without talking to them about politics, without bashing other people,
right.
we just tell them who Jesus is.
Right.
And you know what really resonates to their heart? Mm. God is love.
Yeah.
If you don't love each other, then you have missed the boat.
Yeah.
And crowds of Iranians just come and say, tell me more about this Jesus. Mm. Because it appears that many are disillusioned with what they're seeing and they're living right now.
Right.
And we are very honored to be working with other ministries. It's virtually impossible for one ministry to have a lasting impact. That is why Heart for Iran, we strive to have a culture of partnership.
Right.
Because when you come together, when there's two or more, then God is there, right?
Yeah.
And often as organizations, it would be much easier for solo approach.
Right.
So you stay within your own boundaries and definitions and do your work. But the challenge comes if you want to have a lasting impact, you need to be willing to play with others and partner with others that are involved.
Right.
So that's what we do. We are honored to have over 100 different ministry partners,
wow.
a part of the Heart for Iran family,
to
be able to bring the gospel into Iran. And if you ask me one question, you say, Mike, what is the core value? What is the vision that Heart for Iran has?
Yeah.
It is as this.
Mm.
Our goal is to be able to see the fulfillment of the Great Commission
across
Iran and the region.
That's it. Yes. Ah, that's amazing. And even hearing about how when you first got started, people are calling and saying, I'm having dreams and visions of Jesus. That's just a testament to how the Lord was moving even before you got started. And even he's doing his work and he's paving the way so that when we just say yes and we partner with him, we're just receiving the overflow of all the work that he's doing.
Right.
And we're just coming in with tools and saying, how can we help? How can we partner with the Lord to see his vision, his mission spread throughout the world.
So Gideon, you know, we are leveraging AI.
Yeah.
We're leveraging AI in our news program.
Yeah.
We have Mohabbat GPT, because you go to our website and take a look at it.
Yeah.
We have satellite TV that goes into Iran. We have social media.
Right.
All this fancy stuff.
Yeah.
But thankfully, God is way ahead of all of us.
Yeah.
And none of these things matters if God is not in it.
Absolutely.
So to walk in God's accuracy is the most important part of the commission of the ministry and our partners, because all of our fancy stuff means nothing if God is not in it.
Yeah.
That's why we want to walk in God's accuracy, in humility, and in wisdom to be able to really understand where God wants us to be.
Yes.
So that's a prayer point. Please pray for us to walk in God's accuracy.
Right. That's beautiful. It's amazing. I want to switch gears a little bit. You said that we really don't go into a lot of politics. We don't talk a lot about it, but there are some things that happen that really affect the nation of Iran in a big way, and it in turn affects how we can minister to people. So recently we saw in the news that the president of Iran was killed in a helicopter accident. I want to know from you, how does this affect the nation of Iran, and how does it affect our ministry that we're doing?
That's a very good point. Let's be clear and let's be very open about the fact that the political changes within the context of Iran does affect the amount of pressure that is being put on the Christian minority in the country of Iran.
Yeah.
So anytime, especially there is any kind of a conflict with external governments or with external international policies that may affect Iran or sanctions, usually the minority has left Islam for Christianity in Iran comes under fire as being agents, foreign agents that are sowing seeds of discontent and chaos in Iran, which is not true. But although we are not a political entity, we do follow the politics closely, closely because you know, the uprisings in Iran, the challenges, the protests in Iran, it translates to a lot of people contacting us and saying, where is God in this?
If
my daughter was just killed because she just went on the street and she cut her hair, if you know, we want to have freedom of speech or freedom of religion and we end up going to jail, where is God in it? So people are coming to us and asking us very direct and very good questions. And we have to be able to be educated. We need to be able to understand the geopolitics of the region and be able to have an intelligent conversation with our counterparts. But this latest incident that you're referring to, some time ago, the helicopter of Iran's President Raisi crashed and he died in the process. The question that came about was, the first question was, is there any foul play? Up until now, there is no indication of a foul play.
How
about a part of human nature? always gravitates towards, right. you know, conspiracy theories. Right. Was it internal forces? Was it external forces? Yeah. We basically don't know.
Yeah.
But there appears to be no indication of foul play.
Okay.
How does that affect the politics of Iran? Well, President Raisi was, although he was the president of Iran, he was more of a symbolic figure.
Right.
The actual power resides with the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei,
okay.
Who has been in power. Mm. He is in his mid-80s, mm. and it is known that President Raisi was pretty much the next in line to be considered as a replacement for supreme leader.
Okay.
So now, because he is no longer around, what would happen? How would they choose the next president, and who would be in the line of succession
right.
for the supreme leader? Those are questions that the Guardian Council of Iran mm. is going to be tasked by to answer. And these are a group of hardliners that reports directly to the supreme leader. Mm. So from a geopolitical perspective, not much is really going to change because there's no shift in power balance
right.
in Iran.
That makes sense. It's different than here in the U.S. where the president,
absolutely.
You know, if the president were to die, it's very, things change, things
absolutely.
Shift. Yeah, so it's very different.
So it's not going to change much.
Yeah.
But again, Iran does have to go through the season of choosing and electing the next person in line. And we just hope that through this process, the minority would not be deemed as scapegoats for anything, any retaliation that could be a result of a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So our mission stays the same. Our
absolutely.
Ministry stays the same. We are spearheading into the same direction that
we love everyone.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's the gospel.
Yeah.
Jesus left 99 to attend to one.
Yeah.
So we care for every single person, every single soul.
Yeah.
And by the way, I wanted to let you know that people in Iran, in the news, there's a lot of negativity about Iran and Iranians.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to take a moment and just dispel that because what you're hearing is not really the true picture of Iranians. Iranians, Afghans, there are noble people.
Mm.
There are people not only with rich culture and history, but these are people that understand right from wrong.
Yes.
But they are being ruled by a minority demographic that is representing, giving a false face internationally to others. My invitation to our audience is to put on God's perspective that these are people that we need to continue to reach to.
Yeah, absolutely. And without the full understanding of culture and background and loving people, we have a certain bias and we see people a certain way. And so that's such an encouragement to have the eyes of Jesus for people and even just the Iranian and the Muslim people in our neighborhoods, in our communities. Speaking of some of the things that have been in the news, a lot of the news has been young people in the uprisings. The scripture says in Psalm 71:18, it says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." And so we know the importance of gearing our ministry and making sure that young people are at the forefront of what we're doing. And as the underground church grows, there's a new generation that's rising up.
Yes.
Of Christians, of church leaders, of believers, underground believers. You talked a little bit about this before, of some of the new technology that's coming out that we're utilizing to spread the gospel to the young generation, the Mohabbat GPT and the emerging leaders conferences that we've been able to do, and the AI technology. Can you dive a little bit into those and the importance of those for our ministry to young people?
Absolutely. So there is the next generation is rising up.
Mm-hmm.
The next generation are asking very hard questions.
Right.
The next generation is willing to pay the price and stand in the gap.
Yeah.
They are brave.
Mm-hmm.
We don't call them the next generation. We call them the emerging leaders because the next generation are the leaders. They are actually leading many of their groups, many of their peers. There is this tendency within our culture to not really give room to the younger people to come up.
Mm.
And we just don't let them come and learn and take on the mantle of leadership and make mistakes.
Yeah.
It is important for us to stand next to them,
yeah,
to coach them and guide them. But it is a matter of sustainability and survival of the church in Iran.
Yeah.
The church in Iran has a lot of challenges facing it. It doesn't have fellowship that is needed for it to be healthy.
Right.
It doesn't have theological depth.
Right.
Because often their church is our channel, satellite TV.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have access to Bible. So they don't have access to theological understanding and just life application.
Yeah.
So they are getting a lot of their theology and their training and their life application through these platforms. The youth are tapping into social media.
Right.
The media consumption among youth is so different. There are far less on satellite TV.
Yeah.
They are highly positioned on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube,
right,
WhatsApp, Telegram, and even in some areas with Facebook still. But in order for us to be able to leverage and bring this next generation for the sake of succession,
right,
what we need to do is we need to speak their language,
right,
and meet them on their platforms.
Yeah.
So AI has arrived, technology is here, and if we don't leverage that, we have missed that opportunity.
Right.
That is why Mohabbat TV, we have launched our AI programming already, satellite TV on social media. And it's not just because we want to say, look, here we are, we're doing AI. No,
right,
it really does resonate to the younger demographic, which we're trying to engage.
Yeah.
So if you have a ministry, if you have an organization that has not tapped into using AI, or even we are using Mohabbat GPT. Mohabbat GPT, what it does, Gillian, is regular GPT goes to the entire World Wide Web and extracts data and answers to give you an intelligent answer. Mohabbat GPT was gifted to us by another ministry partner. We're very thankful to them. But what it does is it goes to a pre-curated and tested Christian database and server, and it extracts the answers from within that server. So we make sure that the quality of answers and the theology is being respected and maintained. So using Mohabbat GPT and other and AI, we feel these are some of the tools that can reach the next generation.
I think a lot of people have some hesitations with the use of AI in different different aspects, different fields. But for this, it's actually a tool that we can use because there is an amount of anonymity with the use of AI, that it's not a person that can be targeted, that can be killed or captured. It's a program.
That's
and
right.
So that's incredible to use this new technology. It's actually keeping people safe in a way.
Whenever there's a new technology, there's a sense of phobia. When TV was introduced, I was reading, many people were saying it would never be popular. Radio will remain. Some people said radio would be gone. Nobody would use radio anymore. We see that both radio and TV are being used. If you follow the news, I think the CEO of NVIDIA yesterday, when they were doing their the presentation about their stock yesterday, they said that a new age has arrived.
Yeah.
It's a new age of AI.
Right.
That announcement by itself is a very profound announcement.
Yeah.
That is going to be disrupting life as we all know. It's much like internet's introduction.
Right.
Many people push back, but we cannot live without internet.
Right. And we actually use it.
And we use
for
it for
the
good.
For the glory of God,
For the glory of God.
Right.
So AI has arrived, whether we like it or not, whether we push back or not. And wouldn't it be awesome for us to leverage that to help? I mean, would Jesus use AI, you think?
Right.
I mean, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
If Jesus was here, would he say, let's use AI to bring my message to the different corners of the world? I don't know, but I think we should.
I think Jesus is flexible, and he's here and now, and he's in the future, he's in the past, he's here with us. He's gonna use what we have to minister to his people.
Amen.
That's it. So
that's a tool, though.
Right.
There is nothing that replaces a heart-to-heart, one-to-one
connection. Exactly. Yeah.
And then because Iran is such a close country, until then, you have to use these tools to
be able
to have sense of fellowship with
our if we could
people.
Go to every person, we would, because that's our heart. But these are just tools that we can use to further the reach in the country. So the last thing we want to touch on is something that we're doing as a ministry that we've started. Heart for Iran has recently started a new prayer initiative where we commit to praying for the underground church of Iran together every month. Mike, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
There's so much power in prayer.
Yeah.
And we have learned firsthand that if the culture of our ministry is not a culture of prayer, we have lost the battle.
Right.
So because there is power in prayer, not only we pray internally, now we have invited our audience, people like yourself who are watching or listening to this program, to join us and pray. Now, we pray for Iran and Iranians. This may not be a popular ask nowadays with Iran being so negatively portrayed and involved in so many negative things.
Yeah.
An average listener or viewer of the program may say, why would I want to pray for Iran?
Mm.
And the answer is, they really need the prayer.
Yeah.
Just like other regions. And if you know and you could pray for them and you don't do it, then we really haven't followed on God's command.
Yeah.
It is not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick that need a doctor, right?
Yes.
Iranians are going through a very, very difficult time.
Yeah.
The level of dissatisfaction, disillusionment in Iran is at the highest that we have seen. Yeah. At any time, there could be some kind of a social change brewing in Iran. It already is brewing, but it may go to the next level. So when we pray, when we come together to pray, we pray that God's goodness, God's light would shine in the dark areas in Iran. And I want to tell you guys, there are a lot of Iranians that are leaving darkness and coming to light. They need prayer.
Yeah.
Just because they are under a lot of attack. Mm-hmm. So my invitation to our audience is join us once a month. We come together very casually, just like this.
Yeah.
And we sit down and we give you guys a quick update on the latest of what is happening in Iran, what is relevant to the body of Christ about Iran. And then we have a time of prayer.
Yeah.
And this is a way for us to be able to be in fellowship with each other and be more accurate in how we can, you know, pray for a transformation of a nation.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be awesome? Mm. If one of those people that is chanting death chants against everybody else would come to know Jesus because of your prayers.
Yeah.
And their lives would be transformed and their families' lives would be transformed.
Mm.
That is the essence of the Great Commission.
Yes.
It is an invitation for all to come and pray for Iran and Iranians.
Yes. It's a big charge. But we serve a big God.
Amen.
And that is a charge for all of us. It's a tangible way that we are able to join together and pray and partner with the Lord to see His great commission come to the earth and specifically to the nation of Iran. Mike, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. It has been such a great time.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, so we'll do this again.
Absolutely.
Yes, and for those tuning in, we just want to say thank you for joining us for this episode. We would love to stay connected with you. If you need more information on some of the things that we've talked about, you can visit us online at heartforiran.com or follow us on social media at heartforiran. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email us. You can email us at info@heartforiran.com. And please stay tuned for what's to come on the Impact 32 podcast.